Welcome to the Herding Cats Podcast. We are a podcast for children's pastors by children's pastors. Here is your host, Todd Hixenbaugh.
Well, hey everybody, this is Todd Hixenbaugh, just like the talking voice let you know about, and I'm your host. Whoa, am I excited to be talking with you tonight. Yeah, it's night when I'm recording this. This is interesting. Anyways, I have a new studio, and I'm chilling in my studio, and I'm really excited about it. Well, anyways, I wrote a blog post about some creative hacks about how to help you as a children's pastor, particularly if you are of the creative, if you find yourself in the creative kind of role, or if you're that type. You know, if you're definitely driven more by creativity, and you know, if you are a creative person, and you work in children's ministry, this blog post is for you. And so this is the audio version. Ooh, this is the audio version of that blog post. So here we go. Children's ministry requires an ultra-organized person's touch with a creative individual's mindset. These skills may seem to be at odds with each other, and you'd be correct if you went along with the assumption that people are unable to learn new skills and adapt. Like, we've been adapting for a long time. Humans can just do that. So there's that. I fall into the category of being a creative existing in children's ministry. By the way, I just add this in. Creatives within children's ministry actually are rare. From my experience, the majority of children's pastors, or people who kind of get into the children's pastor space, are extreme organizers. I have some theories as to why that is. Children's ministry is much more about organization and structure. Just on its face, because you're dealing with a lot of logistics. It's also usually the most heavily volunteered for position within the church. And so you just have to be really good at being organized. And so what happens is, people who are really type A people, they typically excel, which is great. We need those people. I'm not knocking them at all. So just my experience, there's a lot more of those types of people. The type A, really organized, super on the ball with details, that type of person usually is much more involved and much more in charge of, you find them in charge a lot more in children's ministry. Back to the text. Now, for me, this means that I like working out of Starbucks more than in the office. I enjoy prop rooms more than spreadsheets, and details about the route that small groups will take during VBS absolutely bore me, while the set designs, they excite me. However, I am acutely aware of this fact. The difference between an amateur and a professional is that amateurs work when they feel like it, while professionals work regardless of their feelings. For years, I could only do office work, and I'm air quoting right here, office work when I had a sudden inspiration to do so. The problem occurred when I would go weeks without having that inspiration. Receipts would go missing, emails would pile up, and I had dreamed and planned myself into a corner. It's kind of like painting yourself into a corner. You know, I had so many dreams, and I would get to the point where I had written and mind mapped and brain dumped to the point where I pretty much had all of my ideas out. And the problem was I had notebooks full of these things, and I hadn't executed a dang thing. Dreams are like whipped cream. Sweet, good, but totally worthless without pumpkin pie to go with it. I was regularly putting myself into a hole because I forgot the most important part. I forgot the pumpkin pie part of the dessert. Execution. Execution takes working through receipts and VBS small group planning, and it takes thinking rather than just dreaming, It takes writing and creating actual physical documents that can be handed to people. It takes emailing. It takes phone calls. It takes receipts and purchasing. It takes a person who can also do the details. It takes both. However, I don't want to discourage creatives. I'm a creative. I do my best work whenever I have extended periods of time to create during the week. My bosses are happier with me when I was in my bag, as the kids say, creating. Here are three hacks that I want to share with you to help if you are like me. Number one, hard stops save lives. One of the mistakes I made early on happened when I believed sitting at my desk for several hours working through all of the emails and sensitive documents actually mattered. It actually made the decision to procrastinate even easier because I simply, you know, couldn't find the time, air quotes. I needed to carve out hours to do all of the work, and I would just put it off. However, I actually went through a period of time when I had so many things on the to-do list that required sitting at my desk, writing, typing, emailing, that I was forced to actually sit down and do them. About 45 minutes into that session, I realized that if I had just created a half hour to an hour block once or twice a week, each of them with a hard start and a hard stop, key part, hard stop. All of these things that needed to get done could fit into these places, and they were pre-planned out. But the most important part, I controlled when they were over. For a creative, if you're like me, being told to sit and work with numbers, details, and spreadsheets is comparable to the worst day ever. I have made Monday afternoons from 3 to 4 p.m. off limits. The only things that I do during that time period is receipts, paperwork, spreadsheets, emails, difficult phone calls to companies. All of those things are put into that block of time. This means that I can make a list the entire week before of all the important documents and files that need attention, and I can do them during that time. It works great. I also, if I need more time, can decide to carve out a second block within the week. And I'll know how much time I need because I just had that time on Monday. It works really well for me. Number two, plan out research and development time. So on the flip side of this whole equation, planning out time to be creative is also crucial to success. Now, there might be individuals out there who can be creative on demand. However, I know that even my creative sessions need to be prepped. I plan two different types of time during the week to be creative. The first block of time is my research time. This is when I research statistics, look up YouTube videos to see other folks who are doing what I'm attempting to do, and make mind maps and think about ideas and do brain dumps and put things into notebooks and on whiteboards. Take photos. Go through photos of things that I have seen during the week in stores. I put all these ideas out. I clean them off. I rummage through them. I really examine what I have to work with. This is incredibly important to the creative process for me. If I don't spend time researching, I begin the development time later, flat-footed, and I'm unable to engage with this important part of executing the creative ideas. For a lot of us, I know I did for a long time, I thought that creativity was simply one big block of time where I would brain dump, I would mind map, I would come up with ideas, and then at the same time, I would also begin execution. I can't do that anymore. I don't know that I ever was able to do that. I mean, I am exhausted whenever I get to the end of one of these research times. I just don't have anything left in me. I need a break. And so what I can do that's most beneficial is I can plan this out. I can research. I can put in place everything that I need to be successful when it comes to actually building things, creating physical, tangible documents, and putting things on calendars that we're actually going to do, and writing up proposals to submit to my boss. I am more successful at that when I've done the research beforehand, or the homework beforehand. The second time that I schedule for creativity is what I call the development session. This is when I write, I video, I draw, I color. Yes, I color. I record, and I work on projects. This is my time to channel my inner Leonardo da Vinci or Jimi Hendrix. This is when I am able to put paint to canvas, pen to paper. This is when I can dig my fingers into the clay and go out and look at the sunrise and understand how I have a deep understanding of how I'm going to paint it. I can see these things in my mind, and it's just a matter of making my hands create them. I live for this part of my week. I go into this time with all of my instruments, every instrument that I need. It's laid out, cleaned, and ready to help me create a new project. This means I've done the research. I've read the books. I've purchased the supplies. And I've asked the questions I needed to have answered for the process to run smoothly. Now, this doesn't mean that you won't come across snags during this time. Matter of fact, the most fun is whenever I fail, because it means I get to go back and research again. The canvas is empty, and I make sure that I have planned a start and stop time for this session as well. This helps me know that I can't go into a creative vortex and never come out again. My boss likes me much better when I do this, and I'm more productive when I do this as well. That's important to understand. Just the same as you need a stop time for your receipts and all of the maybe the mundane tasks of just, you know, that we talked about before. Just the same as you need that, you equally have to have time planned, a start and a stop time for your time to create. You have to have it. And the reason why is because if you're like me, I'll never stop. I'll always have something else that needs adjusted. I'll always find something that I need to continue to work on. And things never are accomplished or completed. I need completed things. Not half-done or half-baked things. Start and stop time, incredibly important. Both during research and development and during your receipt time. Plan out your research and development times. Number three, Nappuccinos save lives. Daniel Pink writes in his book, When, about the concept of a nappuccino. This idea comes from the desire to take a nap in the middle of the workday, which sounds a little counterproductive. I mean, I don't know about you, but my boss would not be particularly thrilled if I said I need to go home and take a nap. Like right now, like I'm just going to leave work and I'm taking a nap. Like this is what I'm doing right now. They wouldn't be thrilled. Mine isn't either. But the nappuccino is still important. You see, he talks about the different time periods during the day and how to maximize each one of them. And one of the major takeaways I received from the book was taking a nap when I come home from work. Now, I usually get into the office or I get to Starbucks Depending on what I'm doing that day, I start work at about 7:30, 7 to 7:30. Before I left the house, I might have opened up email just to take a peek to see if there's any fires that I immediately need to put out. And by the time I either get to the office or I get to Starbucks, I'm ready to get moving, which means that I end my workday usually between 3:30 and 4. Now, for some of you, that might sound early, but to me, that's the perfect day, between 3:30 and 4. What that means is that like 1:30, 2, I feel horrible. I can't do anything. I get up, I would take a walk, I do all the things that I need to do just to function. Productivity definitely can dip if you're not careful in planning this. Now, Daniel, he actually suggests several tips for how to get through. He calls that the trough time period, when your energy just plummets. One of the things he talks about is how you should save the work that you can do mindlessly for that time. That could be the receipts. Things that you just, it's input output. Doesn't require thinking. You're not writing. You're not developing. But one of the things that I know that's incredibly important for me is to take a nap as soon as I come home from work. Now, some of you have children, and I understand this could be difficult, but I want you to hear this next part. Here's how it works. He cites a fact that it takes caffeine between 22 and 25 minutes to hit the bloodstream. Because of that, he suggests drinking a cup of coffee or tea, and then taking a half-hour nap. The science behind this suggests that right when a person wakes up, they're hit by a pick-me-up of caffeine to help wake up. I've been doing this for the past 6 months, almost every day, and I'll tell you, it works miracles. I wake up with a clear mind, ready to work. I do my best work after 8 p.m., and so for me, this works wonders. As a creative, I need to have a planned time to shut my brain down and rest. It's like hitting the reset button on a computer, and it allows for a new canvas. When I'm at my best during the week, I'm working these three hacks into my schedule. My productivity increases, stress decreases, and I'm able to work harder, longer, and I bring my best content to the surface. As always, I would love to hear from you about other hacks you may have for creatives to maximize work time. Subscribe to this blog. It's really easy. You just subscribe to it. It's on the website at herdingcatspodcast.com. You can subscribe to it there. I would love for you to read the content we have posted there, but also you can catch the podcast, which airs every Sunday. We launch a new podcast on the show, and we talk about all sorts of things children's ministry. This is the audio portion of the blog. Now, a couple things that I wanted to remind you of. If you're listening to this as a podcast rather than reading the text version as well, that means you're listening to the podcast. If you never want to miss another one of our podcast episodes, you can hit the subscribe button. You can do that either through Apple Podcasts, Android Podcasts, Google Play Music, whatever it is that you're using. I use personally the Overcast app, which is a third-party app that works wonders. It does all sorts of really cool things that I find to be helpful when I'm listening to podcasts. Hit the subscribe button. It's a great way to do that. Also, another thing is, if this podcast brings you value, if the blog brings you value, one of the great things you could do is you could leave a rating and write a review of the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to show your appreciation, and it also helps us to be able to improve our standings within the different directories, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or whatever it is. It helps us to improve our standings. It helps us to be able to get our message out. And it's just a nice thing to do, you know, help a brother out. Now, I know all of you are going to go run off now, and tomorrow you are going to try a Nappuccino. Good luck with that. That sounds like a good time. Now, until next time, keep learning, keep growing. Deuces, y'all.
Thank you for listening to the Herding Cats Podcast. We hope you tune in next time.